Out the wazoo.
Ain't nothing like a good night out.
It's real professional shit.
Got the joints on. Can't really see that it's like on.
All right, now you can tell me why you're not simping.
Okay, so I'm not simping only because, you know, we always talk about...
Now freeze, because I can see your phone.
Yes.
And I'm going to be real with you. It looks like you're about to simp.
No, I'm not, though, right? Because...
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Okay. Mm-hmm. But from my perspective, it looks like you're going to simp.
Yeah. I know. I know it looks troubling.
You know how it looks.
Yes. I know what it looks like.
Okay, proceed.
Okay, so for... our listeners and our viewers, I'm on Snapchat, and you know how Snapchat is going bonkers right now with just so many of these female content creators just making stupid bonker silly shit. Right?
Content.
Right. Content.
Look how stretchy my pussy is.
Right. There's this one bitch, Christy.
Whoa. Come on, bro. Call her a bitch.
Well, it's not, we're in the rap game. Bitch ain't derogatory.
So you just bitch means lady?
A bitch, honestly, 90% of the time, when you say someone a bitch, you're talking about a dude.
90%, but right now, like, you ain't looking at with buns like that, is what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, if a dude,
I'm just saying, be respectful.
Like that.
Should just continue, okay, but okay. Just, I'm just saying, be
so
respectful.
So we got a woman here. She's in workout gear, probably shark fit. And the catch is, right? The catch is that she doesn't have a right arm. And she works out, and she's fucking squatted,
shark fit,
bro.
More like shark bit, dude.
So look at her, right? She's got like a cast on her hand. It was like a defect that she had when she was born.
Well, let me just say, she made up for
it. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
The issue.
She's like Captain Hook.
The issue that I've had.
Captain Hooker, dude.
Because she's hot as fuck, and I clicked on it because of that, right? Snapchat reeled me in, right?
But 90...
I'm a big fat
fish,
that's
a good
right?
double entendre. Snapchat reeled you in?
Right, reels.
She's, Why is it going out to... How are you reeling it in that fast? Or is it going out to see that
No,
fast?
No, I'm reeling it in, dude.
You're reeling
I'm
it in.
I'm eating
she,
this shit up.
Now, the what you're showing, like, do you know the account name? Say the account name.
Christy... Sita, S-I-T-A. She's got like that gold star next to her name, so you know she sells
pictures of her
pussy.
Let me see this. Is she wearing a puka shell necklace?
Yes. This
her
is...
Her pussy is fire.
This is what I have wrong with these videos, right? She has some sort of filter on her jaw. You know how?
Are you
like,
sure?
Yes, bro. She had like a a post.
Can I see
or something.
It again?
It. I don't know if it was this one exactly.
Let's see the jaw.
But what was getting me was like, you know, all these like deep fakes. You can.
Oh, dude, I
barely,
see it. Her neck looks like a Japanese guy's
exactly.
cock.
Here's the thing, right? She's probably really pretty, but she's got this Snapchat filter on, and you can tell because she's got like no. Shade complexion, like you can't see any freckles, no pimples, no fucking, you know.
Which I like a little of that.
I love that,
right?
Because you see natural, right?
Perfection is in the imperfect,
right? What's it? Kendrick Lamar made a song about that.
He said, "What did he say?" It was
an Afro.
Was it humble?
I think it was like Afro.
Show me
like
something ass with some stretch marks. Hey. You're too blindfold gazy, hey.
Right.
You do not amaze me, hey.
Right. Shit like that. Like, he's talking about, like, quit using these filters and be more natural because that is what's truly attractive. I seen this video, and obviously, of course, she's got thighs like a fucking tree trunk, okay? And you know that ass be stretched out for miles, right? But she's got this strange, like, face filter on Snapchat when she makes frontal like videos, and you can just instantly tell that it's fucking fake.
It takes her chin away,
I guess.
Whatever, dude. Girls are self-conscious. They're gonna watch a video.
Hey, who's self-conscious about their chin when they don't have a right arm? Who's looking in the mirror and says, wow, my face is really fucked up?
Technically, bro, her fucking hand is a chin. No fingers on it. Like it just looks like another chin.
It's a really long chin.
It's the long chin.
Damn. It's the naked chin.
Open the episode, dude. What the fuck?
Fuck, bro. It's episode 157 of Out the Wazoo.
157.
Thank you for joining us once again.
Now, yo, how about that interview, though? How about that? Did we go on interview mode?
Did we make bags?
Was I...
tapped
interview
in?
Mode, dude?
Dude, were you tapped in?
I was... Dude, I was piecing him up. I was carving him up with questions, dude.
You...
I looked at Kai 45 and said, who's carved up?
Right.
Who's a little carve of beef?
Now, when I saw you asking him questions, it was like watching Michelangelo carve those statues in Rome. Because you were...
Thank you. Just tapping, tapping, tapping making away at the facade.
Making a masterpiece.
Kai cried at one point. We had the man on the ropes, dude. I just was like, I was, you know,
he had no mercy.
I was, and he
piecing.
Was, and he was taking this shit.
He was taking hits.
He hit me with a couple.
He lasted longer than I anticipated.
He did last longer.
But.
Now, I busted within the first 10.
When you're in the ring with Birdman.
You're going to catch a feather.
Tend to get too pumped, chum.
Now, when I was watching you right. ask him questions.
Oh, me. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I thought.
What?
Right? I was watching you ask this guy questions, and I thought, where's this guy's helmet?
Yeah.
But.
I left it.
Because.
I left it somewhere else.
Because. You were jumping over emotional valleys like Evel Knievel, dude.
Oh, dude. It was like, hey.
Bro, you
I'm going 80 miles an hour.
You jumped over emotional valleys. You said, it's tough being a parent without any kids. And I did call you out on that, too. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. But I did call you out for not having kids.
But I'm an uncle.
You're a bunkle, dude.
How many?
A funkle.
Hey, how many nieces and nephews got?
I have none.
Hey,
I'm nephew broke, son.
Hey,
niece wallet is slim.
Hey, so who's going to Uncle Daycare?
My nephew bag is empty.
Who's going to Uncle Daycare though?
Your boy. It was a good interview though.
It was a good interview, and you can catch all of that on our YouTube channel at Out the Wazoo. You can also go on our Instagram at Wazoo Podcast. All my coworkers watch my podcast.
A lot of my friends are getting into it. Shout out Parker. Shout out Kenny.
Shout out my girl TT. And
shout out TT.
Erica.
Shout out Erica.
Y'all some real ones.
You can't spell America without Erica.
You can't. And that's,
fire. Just a fact.
That is fire.
She might be the most patriotic chick I ever haven't met.
Their Instagram handles are McShawty. Well,
hang on. Don't be. Go give him Instagram shout out.
McShawty. And
drop a like
Erica's,
below.
Erica's used to be Freakums.
What?
E Freakums, but she changed it. She was the one who told me, because we went
Shark
to
Bite.
We
Shardy.
Used to go to high school together, and I knew her older brother. But she used to have an old Instagram name, and she told me that. And at work, you know, she called me Young Ryan. And she was like, if you change your Instagram name,
okay.
I'll change mine. So for a while, hers was Freakums, but she had to change it back because she was like, I'm getting too many DMs.
From guys?
Yeah.
Like unsolicited
yeah.
Freakums pics?
Yeah.
Hey, Div, you can't stand the heat. Get out of the kitchen.
And, but I just kept Young Ryan. That's when you were like, are you rebranding?
I thought you were going for that. Like, it really blows that one guy's name is Cheddar. The rapper, Young Cheddar or whatever. Yeah. You should just be Young Cheddar and just serve him up like Lil Nas X.
Right. Like a charcuterie board, right?
Just serve him up like a slice of beef.
You might be some...
I can't get this carve of beef out of my head, dude. Who's carved up? Who's it going to be?
Who's carved up?
Who's a little hunk?
He is...
oh, shit.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, you want to go on Netflix... Or YouTube and type in I Think You Should Leave by Tim Robinson, and he makes a ton of comedy skits, and we love all of his shit.
The skit's called Little Buff Boys.
Little Buff
It took
Boys.
Me a while to find it, but Little Buff Boys is what I keep thinking about. Yeah. Who's Little Carve of Beef?
So if you guys want to check that out, go ahead on YouTube. Let's fucking just, first off the bat.
Let's just, hang on.
What are you? What is that, a Honda? Is that a Civic? You got a Type R? Oh, put it third.
Oh, my God. We're dying.
You just crashed
the whip. Burning. We're dying.
Did you just listen
to Oh, my N95? God. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. It's bloodbath. There's pieces of children everywhere.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. I've never seen an accident this bad. Let's go, dude.
Did you just crash the Wait a minute. Were you making a bit or was that just like you just crashing the whip?
I was going to start. So here's my thought process, right? I was just going to rev the engine.
Right. Yeah.
I got taken away. You were like, let's get into it. I was like, wait, should we just like start the engine? And then once I felt the power underneath, I really took off. And it was not pretty.
And that's what happens when someone gets too much power in the hands. They can't let their foot off
the
pedal.
Holy shit. You have to talk the rest of the episode.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to talk anymore. Go ahead. What were you
what I was going to say and start this podcast off was we don't have a plan B. We're like 90% of the bitches in America right now. We don't have plan B.
We don't. And we don't have access to a plan B.
No. What I'm actually talking about is the fact that I woke up early, right? Because I go to work on time, dude. I go into work 5:30 a.m. And, you know, 5:15, I'm logging into the Wazoo podcast Instagram. Of course. Your boy's dedicated. Anyway, I log in. Instagram's asking me all these weird fucking questions, like when my birthday is.
It's not weird.
And now I'm on my Instagram, my Wazoo Instagram, right? Because I'm trying to bust down on some reels at 5:15 in the morning. And Instagram has the audacity to ask me my birthday. Now, I don't want to give my information out, not unless it's on my account. So they're asking me for the birthday, and I'm like, well, I'll just, you know, put the day we decided to make the podcast, right? Sometime in November 2017. Back in your Chevy, out front of your mama's house, bumping tunes, recording on the phones, making the first episode of Out the Wazoo, right?
Planting the seed.
Yes. Now, Instagram goes, oh, you're only 5. A band. And I said, huh? I said, wait a minute.
Clink, 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 clink.
Dude, you know what's funny? I didn't even tell you this. It said, are you sure this is your birthday?
I know, dude, because I was going to say that. It says, are you sure you're 5 years old? And then it says, what's it say under that, Ryan?
It said, you down?
No, it says, this is why you didn't read. It says, are you sure you're 5? Make sure you use your own birthday, even if this isn't your personal account.
Correct. But I'm not going to succumb to Instagram's devilish accusations and questions.
When I found that out, I changed. I became a darker man.
Yeah, you're right.
I laughed. I was never worried about this, right? We were banned. Summary of all that.
For a day.
We were banned for a full 24 hours.
Daddy freaked out at work.
From Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning to Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I woke up. I was away for work. So I was in a hotel bed.
Right.
Comfy. Mm. Woke up at like 6 a.m. right after you. Because I also, like you, I go to work on time.
Mm-hmm.
I get a text from you, like 4 texts, and I'm like, ruh-roh, what happened? And it says, Instagram account got banned, blah, 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 don't know what happened. It asked about the birthday, and then you said, I put November 17th, 2017, because that's when the first episode came out.
Yeah.
And I just fell out, dude. I just started laughing by myself at 6 a.m. in a hotel bed because I couldn't honestly grasp how funny that was, that you were like, oh, my birthday? It means the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a social media setting, in terms of account verification, like, I just couldn't put myself in your I normally can't anyway, but I couldn't put myself in your mindset for putting that. Right. It was so funny to me. Let me give you some backstory.
Okay.
Here's why this happened. Mm-hmm. Monday, I'm posting a clip.
Okay.
Or one of us posted a clip. I forget what, but
I think Monday I posted a clip of Kai.
Sure. So I'm scrolling on Instagram and I'm on the Wazoo account, and it says on there, "Do you want to become a professional account?" And I go, "Sure.
Yeah,
I'm professional. Mm-hmm. Let's do it." I don't know if it's going to cost money or something, but I just click on it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Phone goes loads up, says, "Bing, congrats, you're a professional account now. Here's four things that you need to do."
Mm-hmm.
Number one, what are you?
Yeah.
So I go down the list, I click podcast, bang, boom, it's there. Number two, figure out how to advertise.
Okay.
And I go, we'll figure that out later. Click skip. Number three, reach out to your peers or something like that. So it was like, pick a couple hashtags that describe your account.
Right.
Pick like four, moved on. Number four was verify your birthday. And I was night time, so I skipped that.
Right.
I just clicked skip. I was like, I was on my way to bed.
No, so that makes sense.
I loaded that bullet
right
into your revolver.
Yes.
And then I just handed it to you without telling you there was a bullet in there, dude.
Yeah,
and
you
woke up in true Ryan fashion, looked down the barrel, and pulled the trigger.
I did. And and you know, my first when I seen the question.
Oh, it was so funny, dude.
I was just like, I'm not gonna put my fucking birthday in my head. I'm like, I'm not going to give my birthday out, right? Because my information is tightly secured, okay?
Well, you're in the system, so.
I am in the system. But I want to be in the system as less as possible.
Okay.
So.
It's kind of a yes or no thing. You can't really be least in the system. You're in the system, but
I'm
continue.
I'm in there, but like, you know, how much of you are in there, right? Like, are you
going full balls deep
in, or are you just kind of like, putting the tip in.
It's cute that you don't think that Facebook and Meta has your birthday.
Well, I don't have a Facebook.
You have one, dude. They have a. You're cute again to think that if you went to Zuck right now and said, "Hey, pull up my account," that he couldn't just go, "Ring, here you go."
And he probably somewhere. Could, but you know what? I never put my birthday on my Facebook account.
That's a lie.
That's not a lie.
Every year, Facebook says "Happy Birthday" on your birthday. You're
yeah,
telling me you
recently,
had a fake birthday?
Recently.
No. That's a very old feature. Back in the day, dude.
Dude, everybody who...
Pokes, Farmville, birthdays. That's Facebook,
Everybody who knew me knew my birthday.
But I'm telling you, dog, it had to be on
Hey, guess what? On my birthday, people fucking wake up, go on Facebook.
Well, how about that? There you go. You don't even need to put it in, because guess what? Every year on February 24th, 100 people say happy birthday.
You got to say my birthday right
Dude,
now?
Dude, people were public figures. People know who we are.
That's true. I mean, I definitely was a public figure.
Now, you don't
know
my birthday, right? Because I'm a secret guy. But here's the thing.
Right.
You didn't want to give your birthday, so it resulted in me having to upload my fucking driver's license.
I was trying to do that, though. I was trying to figure it out myself, because I was like, I'm a fucking big boy.
You're a big boy.
I made a boo-boo, okay? And I'm here to fix it. I'm here to get a Band-Aid, and I'm fixing this shit. And I could not figure it out. I tried calling the help desk, but the number. The number says, this number does not work.
Instagram and all of those social media platforms don't really have customer service. They used to have a line, and this is where you ran into a problem, is that they got rid of the line in favor of a Q&A or facts.
Correct.
Facts.
Because it's easier.
Facts. Right. FAQs.
Right.
Hate that shit. When it's like, I just want to know how to get back into my account, and it goes like, well, did you read our FAQ page?
Right.
Bitch, there's like 100 FAQs on there. Like, and also, even if my FAQ is on, it never is on there, is it?
No.
Any question you have is never on the FAQ page.
You got to search it manually, and then something more obscure comes up.
Well, I'm at the point now where I'll just Google what I want and then type Reddit after it. So it's like how to recover my Instagram account Reddit.
Yeah.
And then bang, first post is a Reddit post about somebody who has my problem.
Yeah.
And then 40 people who responded.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's crazy that you got to go through that step in order to figure something else out. But anyway, we fucking fixed it. Accounts back up.
Got it back.
Posting clips. But I thought to myself, I was like, damn, if the account got hacked, say something was out of our control and that happened, there's really not much you can do. When people get their accounts hacked, it literally says, make another account.
This is why we have two-step verification.
Yeah.
Do
you have the two authenticity?
Two-step joints? Verification, you have to do a two-step on video, and they have to like identify you on it.
You got to dance a certain way.
It says on there, like, do a two-step, huh? And then the camera comes on and starts counting down 3, 2, and a small beat comes on. It's actually a guy beatboxing. He's doing it for you.
If that's a future, I'm down.
And you got to do a two-step to verify yourself. But this is why we have two-step verification. That's why it goes to,
correct,
I believe, the backup email is my email. So if anything ever happens, it'll go to me, right, and then I'll do what I need to correct your accidents.
Right. Well, God forbid you ever make a fucking accident. Guess what?
Guess what?
Daddy's going to be sleeping in. Daddy's going to say, well, guess it's my day off.
You can't sleep in though because you changed your work schedule.
Hey, it's a wash, dude.
Hey, tell me about ASAP Rocky's piss whiskey, dude.
So I wish we had third guy here because he probably knows about this too. But I'm going to fill in for the ASAP Rocky joints.
Here's what he would be. He'd be like this. Look, first of all, his legs going so fast.
Right. It, pretending to be running away from Anna, right?
The smallest run ever, squeaking his chair. And then we go, hey, what's up with ASAP Rocky's piss whiskey? He'd go like, oh, you guys don't know?
So if many of you don't know, ASAP Rocky just made a collab. I don't know if he like made this brand or if this is a
collabs,
or if this is like a brand that's already existed and he's just now collabing and making a specific like flavor of whiskey. But the post was like him obviously dripped up. It's like in a dark
pull
green.
It up. I want to see it again. Was he wearing Balenciaga, dude?
I don't fucking know. He was wearing like a dark green suit with a light green tie and the fucking pocket protector. And look at the first picture.
Wow, I'm a boomer.
You just hit the fucking lock button, dude.
Well, dude, I don't know how to hold your fucking
Look at the rings. Look at the two rings on his fingers. It's two diamond studded green heart rings.
Those got to be emeralds.
And it's on his ring finger and his pinky finger.
And he's looking at a third emerald.
Right.
In like a little tongs.
And
ASAP Rocky disrupts the world of whiskey.
Like, get the fuck out of here. So corny, dude. So corny.
Sustainable sips. Oh, so it's like a sustainable whiskey?
I guess.
It comes with it's like Di Serrano or whatever. It comes with a glass, mm-hmm, if you buy it. It's like a perfectly square cubicle glass.
I don't know. We might have to bust down on that.
It's a square because I'm not a square. It's a square because you can't box me in. That's the type of shit.
It's a square because you never catch me around. It's a square because you never catch me around. Now that's fire, right? No. What's that Eminem line?
He looks fresh.
Look, I'm getting better at who says what lines, right?
Eminem
said something about being boxed in because I don't.
Come on now.
No, because he said, I don't fuck around. He's like,
you stole that bar.
You bitches are squares because I don't fuck around. He said something like that.
That sounds like a M
line.
Oh,
you cock blocking. I ain't fucking around.
See, this is like dumb. Like, we should have pulled this up on the podcast so the people can see.
Well, I just thought of it.
Well, what the fuck, dude?
I just thought of this, dude. This is just how my mind works.
Here, you guys can see, right? I mean, are you going to drink this piss?
I mean, that's all it is. We don't have to show any fucking pictures.
You're going to drink this swine?
This is what you're missing, right? It's ASAP Rocky in a suit, okay, holding a bottle of Mercer and Prince whiskey.
He had his kid, too.
Okay.
Rihanna popped that little bitch out.
Oh, she did?
Baby was born like 4 weeks ago.
Wow, is the name Rory?
No, a lot of speculation online. In fact, I'd actually like you, if you can, please pull up. Let's see what the top 5 internet names are, predictions for ASAP Rocky and Rihanna, because I'm a little interested to see where people went with this, because it's the most pointless thing I've ever heard in my life.
Sounds like it. Top 5 Rocky baby
names. Has to say it while he types. He's a boomer.
Rocky Mountain baby names. Okay,
oh, well, that what does that even mean?
Okay, Rocky name meaning no. Rocky clip baby names, no.
To put a Rocky X Rihanna collab. The baby's name.
Rocky X Rihanna collab. His name's Khalib.
It could be collab, like it'd be some black Israelite shit. Rocky X Rihanna new collab is lit. That would be the best. That would have been the best Onion article title when he had the baby. Yeah. Like new collab by Rocky and Rihanna.
Fan predictions revealed. Oh, dude. It's like people were waiting for it.
Like it was hidden.
Is Rihanna having a boy or a girl? Fans sparked theories over baby's gender.
She's having a fucking... They should name him Benjamin Franklin because he's going to be rich. Dude. He's going to make them so much money.
So I don't see...
It's okay. I thought I saw that a lot of people were...
trying to speculate names. But here is my thought, right? They should have named the baby, whether it was a boy or a girl, because it's like a gender-neutral name, Rari.
Tell him why.
Rari, because
it's a good name because prediction.
ASAP Rocky's name is Rakim. Rihanna's name, Rihanna. Rakim, Rihanna. Ra-ri. Rari. It's a double entendre because it's both their names combined in the beginning, and it's also an expensive vehicle.
So, like, the kid could feasibly be named Ferrari. Like,
correct.
It was really big in the early 2000s.
Where's the FE coming from?
Iron. But I mean, chemistry. Anyway, Ferrari is just because it's cool. It was cool, at least in the early 2000s, to name your kid after exotic cars like Porsche, Mercedes.
Hey, I knew a girl named Lexus.
Lexus, she gave sloppy.
Terrible sloppy. She had a sawtooth in there.
I don't actually know that. I'm just saying, like, Lexus, like, if your name's got an X in it, dude. Count me out.
Exotic, bro.
Count me out. The Lexus, Mercedes, Porsche. It'd be cool to start bringing that shit back. Let's start naming
Hummer.
Kids after cars again.
Hummer.
Now, that
Tesla
chick does give a good sloppy if her name is Hummer.
Forerunner. Camry. We know a Camry.
Watch your mic, dude.
I don't know. I bit it.
I always thought that was a funny joke to be like, oh yeah,
Tundra. Oh, dude, there's Porsche. Definitely somebody's name who's Tundra.
No, dude, Tundra. That's like a fat. How are you gonna know your baby's fat before it's big?
Dude,
you know
Tundra.
What I mean?
Tundra's kind of like a badass.
We
name.
Named him Tundra, Hunterdon.
One of our
County,
one of our
middle
number
name County.
One Wazupio fans, Pat, named both of his dogs Tahoe and
Tacoma. Those are dogs, though.
Yeah,
that's
but like,
fine.
What's the difference between a dog and a bitch, right?
Now, again, be respectful. Coming full circle here. Full circle with you and the bitches.
Right.
Just
but
be respectful.
That's my point, right? So, like, why are you going to name it that?
Call it Rari.
There's nothing
Rocky.
Else. Don't do what Travis did and speculate woof.
Don't at me, dude. Okay.
Go back to episode like 130, dude. That's when we talked about it.
So disrespectful to the fans right now.
Dude, no, I'm not. Look, you told
go
me.
Go back to
you told
fucking
me,
episode
hey, listen,
130,
you told
dude.
Me that the fans don't want me to talk to them, right? So off the bat, disrespectful. Not even going to look at the camera, right?
You've looked at the camera like 50 times. Stop looking at the camera.
Secondly, right?
Yeah. What was firstly?
The firstly is that I don't look at them.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
Because you know,
I'm not a looker.
Their fucking necks are like this. They're on their back, phone up, scrolling, watching our reels.
Fair enough, dude.
But
so what's secondly?
Secondly, what I'm saying is that I lost my train of thought. So we're going to move on, actually.
Fuego.
So what about Elon Musk buying Twitter?
Cuckboy loses money. That's the article title.
You think he lost money?
Hire me, Rolling Stone.
Dude, you know how
he already lost money.
Hey, do you know how hard the old CEO of Twitter is laughing right
Cuck
now?
Cuck billionaire squabbles chance.
$44 billion.
And it got more expensive because Twitter's stock went up and Tesla's stock went down.
Yeah.
So because he was buying that bitch with stock... He then had to pay more because Twitter's value increased,
mm-hmm.
and he agreed to buy the 51% of the stocks. So the value of the deal became more, mm-hmm. and he agreed to exchange those stocks for Tesla stocks, and Tesla stock got cheaper. So now he's got less money and more to buy.
Yeah.
And that's why he's all like, oh, I don't know if I want to buy this. What's a good Tesla impression?
You mean an Elon Musk impression?
What's a good Elon Tesla Musk impression?
You already did
impression?
A Tesla impression earlier. When you
I'm not sure I want to buy this.
Right?
That, yeah, he's so autistic.
Oh, wait, actually, you know what? This is a Tesla impression, right? Ding, ding. No engine noise. It don't make a sound.
That's the sound of the air conditioning.
That's it.
Have you ever been? You've never been in a Tesla.
No,
that's an
never.
Airplane.
No, never been. It's pressurized though.
Elon Musk, I'm getting so tired of this fucking player.
There was something that came out about him trying to fucking pull his wiener out on a flight attendant.
Dude, it's
he thought he was on an episode of fucking Come 4K or something. There's dude.
Barefoot Latinas or something. Is there
barefoot Bernies? I mean,
there's two trains of thought, two schools of thought, right?
Right.
Is the which one do you believe in? Let me put them out there for you. School thought number one, right?
Okay.
Billionaires
mm-hmm.
make lots of money, very high profile, and then when they start to have an opinion,
mm-hmm.
somebody makes a story about them, inevitably saying that there was sexual assault involved.
Okay.
That's school of thought number one. You get accused of something because you're rich and famous and loud and you're making a wave.
Right.
School of thought number two, you make billions, so you want to pull your wiener out. Which school are you enrolling in classes in this fall?
You want to pull your wiener out. Now, let me just preface this.
Class is out.
Does not mean both school's instances
out.
Happen. Of course.
That they don't happen. Because they do happen.
They do happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
saying, like, of course, when you get famous, you have all eyes on you.
All eyes on me.
You could have somebody who, you know, comes out and says, like, say I got famous. Made billions. I have a couple haters. Well, it's not going to lie. I got a couple haters.
Not me.
Haters?
I wouldn't hate.
Hey, they got to have something to talk about, right?
I'd be your manager.
They got to have something to talk about. Hey.
Who the fuck these...
And I'm good with it. Whatever.
Who the fuck these people talking about? You know it's us.
Those haters
the only thing to talk about.
Are going
to
hate. Right?
So, little Wayne.
Because they ain't us. And, you know, there's always going to be some shit that comes out about you that, I might have thrown a tree trunk at one of my best friends and split his arm open. Whatever, dude. It's in the past. But the past can bite you in the ass. That happens, for sure. But I think what's more prevalent is that you have just regular people, or they could be retarded, like Elon Musk.
He's you know? Autistic, not retarded.
Well, you know, whatever. There's certain aspects that
he's
he
the anti-definition of
there's
retarded.
There's certain aspects he is slower at grasping than a normal human being.
Let's just slow it down on the bitches and retards, huh?
All right.
Okay.
But also don't touch my knee, though, right?
But I needed to get the point across.
But my knee, though.
But I needed to get the point across.
But my knee, though.
I'm like a grandma.
So the side that I'm on is when you make billions, you are now at disposal of pretty much everything the world has to offer, especially if you're Elon Musk. He's probably never pulled his penis out in public before or private.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can do
or
all
private.
The things. You can
that's
do all the things.
Hey, fuck it. What's he going to go to jail?
When you do all the things.
Hey, what's the bail? $50,000? Shits that out. Hey, fucking run over a kid. Fuck it, dude. I'll go to jail for a couple of years.
He won't
bailed
even go to
out.
Jail. My point, your point, and my point, our points are that if you make a billion, if you make 500 billion or whatever he's worth, you do all the things that you're allowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when
and you're
there's
not
nothing
allowed
left,
to do.
And some of the not allowed to, you know, you go shoot an elephant with a cannon.
Right.
Right?
An old musket. one of them things that was signed with the Declaration of Independence.
You go. You use a fucking sled dog team.
Yeah.
to get across the highway or something. Mm-hmm. You know, you do all the things you're not supposed to do.
Right.
And then you get to the things you're really not supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why inevitably all the billionaires and Gunna and Young Thug.
That was Lil Wayne.
Really trying to hold it together.
That was Lil Wayne.
I got this. I go.
Baby.
I lost my train of thought. Oh, it's why all these billionaires make billions and then they do crime.
Yeah. Like the fuck? Rick Ross, he didn't make billions. He made millions.
Dude, he looks like he made billions, but he's gotta be MC Hammer broke.
He has to be. And he's buying pianos that play themselves.
He bought a fucking a horse, a llama, a go-kart, some cows. Train.
He bought a cow to shit talk the cow.
He's so alone.
Yeah.
He's so alone at his house. Like he bought a marble mansion, like DJ Khaled's mansion.
Yeah.
But arguably DJ Khaled has way more money than Rosé.
Right.
So now Ricky Rosé is just, you know, he goes, Rosé, and he hears Rosé, Rosé, Rosé. Like the echo in the loud house that is empty because nobody loves him.
If it wasn't for his camera team that he hires, he probably would obviously not be relevant as much. But I'm saying without those people around, he'd definitely be by himself.
He's it's like DJ Khaled's squad when he was really big on, you good?
Yeah, I'm good, dude. I'm silencing it.
Was that your banker?
It might have been.
Remember when DJ Khaled was doing, he would just get his cameraman. He's like, come with me. Like it was like an episode of Cribs, but he was hey, yo, chef, what we having for dinner? And then the chef would be like, well, we have,
yeah, so polite. This lady, this lady would be so polite, so quiet.
We're starting off with cauliflower entree. And he's like, wow.
Oh my God, major key. And grabs the fucking glass of wine.
That sounds amazing. We live life out here. Yeah.
And then he's got the audacity to be like, you could do anything you put your mind to.
After she said, we're having cauliflower bites. Yeah. And he'll interrupt her too. She'd be like, we're having
anyway, here's the next episode where we go on a jet ski and we find dolphins.
He used to record himself in the shower, washing his face. He'd be like, Major Key, wash your face.
Dude, his gut
was so big you couldn't see his cock.
He would get a fade every day.
Holy shit, it was every day.
Every day.
He's had more.
And all he had was the key emoji next to his fucking head.
And he's doing this. Just getting faded out. But the barber's doing nothing. He's just
going like this. It's like this. It's
like the barber's doing nothing because he was just there earlier today.
That's all he's doing. You don't see him actually cutting the hair. It's like artists, you know, when they're drawing something, they're just going over what they've already drawn.
But
now they're making the video.
But he just had a haircut 12 hours, correct. 24 hours correct. Ago. So you come back, right, and it didn't grow.
Dude, it grew 24 hours.
But God, what does 24 hours of hair look like? Just like the dust.
Doesn't matter because you got it off.
No, dude, you're going to side with DJ Khaled on this?
What I'm saying is we're going off. If you had the money to,
would you do it?
Yeah.
End the episode. You would get a haircut every day?
Dude, why not, dude?
Okay, would you do it every day if you had $1 million?
No.
$5 million?
No.
$20 million?
No.
Because that's how much DJ Khaled has.
I'm fucking joking. Obviously, I wouldn't get my haircut.
Oh, come on. Don't walk it back now. Dude, have some spine, you pussy. No. You fucking jellyfish.
No, because you're wasting your money. Truthfully, you're wasting your money. Now, look at Bill Gates, right? Motherfucker looks like he is cutting his grass every day, right? New Balances, fucking dad jeans, wearing a belt with a shirt tucked in that shouldn't be tucked.
Glasses. He goes home and he just gets topped by koala bears or something.
That's where all his funding is going. Some getting next topped level by some shit. Koala bears.
That's when you're a billionaire.
No, because don't koala bears have fucking gonorrhea?
Okay, fine. jellyfish. I don't know. He's getting topped by
a box jellyfish? Because that can't kill you.
Topped by an aardvark? How about that?
All right.
Would you rather get topped by an aardvark or a giraffe?
Wow, we haven't done one of these in a long time on Out the Wazoo. Would you rathers? You said aardvark or what?
A giraffe.
Giraffe. It's the only thing that can fit my cock in.
You piece of shit.
Oh, you walked into that one.
Should we?
Wow.
Should we move on and go to our album review for tonight?
Let's move on. Let's go to our anchor ad.
Just say break.
In our break.
Because we don't do anchor on YouTube.
Mm. Sometimes. But here's our break.
We are back with potentially the album of the year.
Y'all missed us.
Easily. Don't lie. An album that is in contention for album of the year. And just check my watch. It's only May. So we have a highly anticipated album from an artist who's been gone for 5 years. Lamar drops Damn and essentially goes quiet after that. Wins a Pulitzer Prize for Damn. He's the only rapper to ever win a Pulitzer Prize for his writing and his impact on society, culture, name it, what have you. Becomes, you know, elevates his career after having dropped arguably the best rap album of all time in To Pimp a Butterfly. Previous to that, he drops Good Kid, Mad City, which put him on the map as a contender in the rap game and built himself to a point where his career could have gone anywhere. He was at the top after Damn. Then he pulls back from the spotlight. 2 years go by and we get hit by COVID. Mm-hmm. 3 years, really. And we get hit by COVID. So then Kendrick Lamar, we don't hear from him. At all. He's barely on social media. He's barely anywhere. You don't ever hear from him. He's like a myth.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Kendrick. Remember when Kendrick made music? Then, at the end of last year, Baby Keem starts kind of pulling his weight and becoming more of like a player in rap.
With Orange Soda, first off.
I think that was even in 2020. So, yeah. Orange Soda and Die For My Bitch, I think, was the album. Then, he drops Family Ties. And that's like one of the only albums that we get from, or sorry, the only verses we get from Kendrick Lamar in that 5 year span. That it's been a while.
Yeah.
So it blows the fuck up.
And there was a video that went with it too, which went even crazier because both of them were acting super wild in the video.
Weird, right? Like dancing. Kendrick was on this weird, like, just unabashedly embarrassing and goofy type shit, his dancing, his raps. And then Baby Keem drops The Melodic Blue, which we get another verse on Range Brothers. And that's when we get top of the moaning, top of the moaning, top of the moaning, top of the moaning. Roadie gang, roadie. We get that goofy ass bar. Like,
it's almost as if Kenny was amazing, locked brother. In a straitjacket and put in a room for like 5 years.
Or
came out completely different.
Just like childlike innocence again, like you put a camera on a little kid, they start doing goofy shit and just being like saying some weird stuff.
So you think it was because he knew he was like deprived of attention from like the media and things like that, he went like extra?
I think that, and we're going to talk about this with the album review, he at that time was feeling more comfortable in his skin than he ever has. Kendrick has often talked about the weight of his mission and his self-proclaimed savior status in hip-hop and in the black community. He's become a major activist figure, like not Martin Luther King, but like more in pop culture, like Michael Jackson or Oprah or even, you know, like you can say J. Cole, Jay-Z, these other artists and big media personalities who talk a lot about inequality. And that weighs on Kendrick. And he has talked about it in the past a little bit, but he's always wanted to give us the slappers. He's always wanted us to feel like we're able to listen to his message, but also have a good time while we do it.
Right.
And that's been an obligation for Kendrick. This album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, is in essence a therapy session where we get Kendrick realizing his pain and the weight that he carries with him every day, talking about where that pain started, and then in the second disc, it's a double LP, coming to terms with those issues, and then really breaking down and allowing himself to be like raw and vulnerable and emotional, and for the first time in his career, accept the fact that he is imperfect, he is not your savior,
yeah,
and he's okay with being that guy, you know. And I just thought that this album, you know, that being my background, my take on just the general high 1,000-foot view, this album, while at first didn't hit me super heavy on the fucking 10th, 15th listen, I love it, dude.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think everybody obviously was expecting another To Pimp a Butterfly or Good Kid, Mad City. Because what else do you expect from Kendrick, right? He does not drop anything that makes you question his stability in how to make music.
They expected better.
Yeah, they expected this would be the best slapping album he's ever made of all time, and it was going to change certain aspects of rap culture.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I think I'm gonna give you two takes on my album of what I think of this album. I think it's possibly one of his best. It's up there with Good Kid, Mad City and To Pimp a Butterfly, because in those times, that was the best album to be coming out. In this time right now, this is probably one of the best times to drop something like this. You know, everybody's getting a little bit more vulnerable. I think Kendrick, he could have made another incredible slapping ass album that just rocked the radios for eternity. But in order to be a savior, you have to step down and you have to realize that, like you said, you have to like be like introspective and think, okay, I obviously have flaws. I need to take it down a little bit and I need to expand on what makes me a human. I think this album in particular touches on the real problems that he has, the grief, the struggles of being in a relationship. I didn't even know he was in a relationship. I didn't know he had a kid.
I do now.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know he had, I mean, it sounds silly, but you got to think, like, you know, people are just people, no matter what you're seeing on the internet, what you're listening to. People are people, no matter how much money they have. And he is struggling the same way everybody else is. But you don't see that because he doesn't want you to see that. On this album,
because he doesn't think he is allowed,
correct,
to show you that.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't be an activist, warrior, right, champion of black excellence,
mm-hmm,
and just championing people.
Right.
But also have cracks.
Yeah.
You know, flaws. And mm-hmm, that's anybody.
So I think this is the perfect time to drop something like this, because now you're getting a side of Kendrick who is purposely making an album that doesn't, you know, rock the radios. It's an album that is giving you a message, not just about something that's prevalent in the community, but something more personal. One takeaway that I had that I thought he could have worked on a little better on this album was that he tried to fit too many types of different, like, categories of struggle in this album. Like, I wish he was dropping just a little bit more throughout the years. Like, 5 years is a long time. There was some others, like A$AP Rocky hadn't dropped in a long time, and then he drops one thing. It's really good, but it's like, you know, are they going to continue down this path of, you know, dropping something once every 4 or 5 years? Are they slowing down? Are they going to move careers?
This is his self-announced last album with TDE.
Yeah.
Top Dog Entertainment. So now he's going to release, hopefully, he's going to focus more on PG Lang, which is his new company.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a record label or whatever it is, that's what Kendrick Lamar is going to be doing.
Yeah.
Continue.
So I was just saying, like, my one positive was that this is an album more for the people who like the message and not just the beats and like how stupid it can go in the club. There is another aspect of this album that to me, it seems like he almost tried to cram too much into one thing.
I have a rebuttal for that.
Okay.
Have you ever been to therapy?
No.
Okay.
Can you tell?
I can tell.
Okay.
Because I've been.
Right. Okay.
Have you ever had like a therapeutic talk with somebody where like a lot's weighing on your brain,
mm-hmm.
and you're holding it in and it's bothering you every day, but you don't want to be a burden, so you don't really say much.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone says, "Are you okay?" you say,
I'm good.
Can I help? Is there anything you want to talk about it? You say, I'm good.
Yeah.
Then there's a moment when you're sitting and the moment's just right, and for whatever reason, someone makes themselves feel available to you and you feel open.
I see where you're going.
And it cracks, and mm-hmm. you might share, I've just been feeling so tired lately. Mm-hmm. And then it cracks a little more.
Right.
And then it opens up even more. And then you start talking about this. And then the shit that happened a month ago comes out. And then the shit that happened a year ago comes out. And then the shit that bothered you when you were a fucking kid comes out.
Yeah.
And the shit that has just been with you and you just don't talk about it because as a guy, I mean, this might not be for girls too much, but as a guy, like, it is so hard to be forward and open and honest about what's going through your mind,
mm-hmm.
that when you get a chance to do that, you can easily lose control of how much you fucking let loose.
Yeah. Well, I would say this does apply to females too. Females do go through.
Not to say they're not.
Right.
They are better at dealing with emotions as they happen.
True.
Guys hang on to shit for a long time without saying shit.
Yes, that part I agree with. Yeah, I see where you're going with this. So, like, right now you're saying that Kendrick, he's been away for so long and he's been dealing with his struggles just by himself, that now that it's his time to be vulnerable, he's now laying everything out.
I think so, and I don't think that it necessarily makes for a good album. I do think that a good, cohesive concept album probably should be a little bit more focused.
Mm-hmm.
And because this was borderline, you know, it was emotional, man, this whole mm-hmm. thing. I mean, if you had one thing to say about it, it's emotional.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of, it does, to me, it didn't really take away from it. But if you do sit there and you try to wrap the whole thing together, it is a lot to package into mm-hmm. one message. Because
it is a lot.
Because a human being is a lot to package into mm-hmm. one message. And I think that what he tried to do here was in one album, and arguably in one album, tried to put all the things that he could think that were weighing him down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially like one song for each thing.
Yeah.
There's like a little bit of a theme with like love and mm-hmm. failure to accept love is a theme of this album where mm-hmm. Kendrick feels like he can't accept love. And he tries to find that love in other places where he shouldn't.
Right.
You know, he admits infidelity in this album where, mm-hmm. you know, you didn't even know he was in a relationship, but now you're hearing that
right.
he cheated on Whitney, his wife, who Whitney is a narrator on this mm-hmm. album. So she's on this album where Kendrick is admitting to fucking white bitches.
Yeah.
And
In Copenhagen.
And like he's so on the fucking table with this. Like it's just, he just.
Yeah. Seppuku.
Just spilled his guts all over the table.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like a fucking paella, just thick, like everyone's helping themselves to a serving of Kendrick.
Yeah.
It's the most vulnerable thing you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, to sit there, he has songs about, you know, how the Father Time song, bro, is like, I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good song.
Yeah.
And it takes a while for you to listen to music like that and really feel what he's trying to say and like try to decide where do you fit in what his message is. And that song in particular just like, man.
Hits you different.
Hit me different. And it was good musically too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's another thing. Like, my first listen, I didn't think some of these songs were that musical. I thought right. that, you know, United in Grief, the first song, is mm-hmm. barely a song.
Right.
The We Cry Together
yeah.
is barely a song.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, wow, this is a lot of skits and interludes and it's not very musical. There's mm-hmm. not really any like great songs
mm-hmm.
like musically. But the more I listened to it, the more I picked out things that I liked and realized that like these songs are coherent. They do sound great by themselves. Like N95 yeah. hits so hard now yeah. in the car.
It's a slam dunk.
When him and Baby Keem are like, serving in the drought, venting in a safe house. Well, venting in a safe. I put that put and it just hits yeah. you with the heavy ass yeah. shit. I mean, I again, like the first time I listened, I guess maybe I was just I tried to meter my expectation, but I like everybody else, I was like, this is going to be the greatest thing
yeah.
he's ever done.
Yeah. I think I agree. Like there, it took me a while, and I'm glad we waited so long to review this album. Cause this album came out like a couple weeks ago, actually. And, we're now recording on the 26th. And so we've had a lot of time to dive into this, and really understand, because if we were to review this the day after it came out, or which would have been, you know, like such a shame, but or like even a week after, our reviews would have been different.
You know, absolutely,
the episode
yeah.
would have been different. And if we were to record this next week, our review would be even more in depth. But I agree, like when I first listened to it, I love concept albums, but I hate skits. I hate that, like, you know, I understand you're trying to put, you know, something different on a whole separate song, but like it for me, sometimes it just makes sense to just make the song longer, put whatever that is, that skit at the very end or the very beginning, and then do the rest of the song or the song ends.
I hate that. I hated Lamborghini High when you couldn't listen to it without being like, let me get a chopped cheese and a Lucy.
See, I hate that too. You know,
or whatever it was.
I do,
it was like,
I do
wavy
that.
Down to the socks. I got right. the two-tone do-rag.
Because you can't listen to the song without listening to the skit. But it does make you be more patient with, you know, music like that.
Sure.
But there were plenty of instances where I just kind of, you know, threw my hands up and I was like, man, he's been out for so long and he made an album that has a ton of skits on it. And like Kodak Black, I didn't quite understand why he was one of the narrators on this album. And
yeah, we should talk about that.
And it bothered me. But after listening, and even though I don't follow Dissect podcast on Spotify, I do try and break things down further than just looking at the lyrics and trying to read them and see what he's saying. You know, like you have to see what those words are talking about as he's saying them. So I guess with that, we can dive right into the first song, United in Grief, right? Okay. And we're going to, you know, it starts off slow. It doesn't, they're like you said, this doesn't really sound like a musically cohesive song at first.
Well, it starts off with that one, like almost chorus voice.
Yeah.
That as the album gets further along and Kendrick's therapy becomes more realized, and he goes further along in the therapy process of accepting and grieving,
mm-hmm.
you get more and more of this thing. And it starts off with like, I hope you find some peace of mind
yeah.
in this lifetime. And then it goes into the song.
Yeah.
But as the album goes, you get more and more of that line.
Yeah.
And it becomes this tying together stream mm-hmm. from the front of the album to the back of the album
yeah.
that keeps it cohesive.
Yeah, he starts off with, after he says all that, he says, I've been going through something.
I've been going through something.
1,855 days.
Yeah.
I've been going through something. Be afraid. What is a bitch in a miniskirt?
What is a bitch in a miniskirt? That's how the whole first song goes.
The man in his feelings with bitter nerve. What is a woman that really hurt? Like, he's talking about certain things that are like, you're listening to it and you're not paying attention to it. Because this is the issue that I have a lot when you're trying to listen to a song and half of your attention is at the beat and the other half is trying to figure out what he's saying. But like, you take the time and look at the lyrics and read it, it's like a completely different song, you know?
Yeah, that goes for anybody too. Yeah. Like Future's album.
Yeah.
You just don't, there is, you don't hear shit when you're listening to it because it's just so much bass and emotion.
But he is not your savior.
But he is not your savior. United in Grief is exactly, I think, what it says.
Yeah.
He's saying that we all grieve.
Yeah.
But then his number one line is, I grieve different.
Yeah.
Which is a playoff of, I think Jay-Z said, I brag different.
Yeah.
Beyonce is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
My money blue, or, you know, right. I forget, my money baby blue or something like that. Right. But he had that bar, I brag different. Now Kendrick is going, I grieve different. Now Kendrick's a sad boy, right?
Yeah.
He's a certified sad boy now.
Okay.
He needs to get,
I can get down with that.
He needs to get features from Lil Uzi Vert. We're going to need a XXXTentacion from the grave.
We need a Pop Smoke one, too.
We need
a,
No. Pop Smoke wasn't a sad boy. Juice WRLD was a sad boy.
Yeah, Juice WRLD. Anybody who rapped about Demon Time.
Mac Miller is a sad boy. Like, all these guys who just were really sad. Yeah, Kendrick is right. I mean, now I just named three dead guys and Kendrick. So,
Ben,
knock on that wood, because I wish nothing but health and wealth for Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
So this album, I heard a theory that the two discs are a mirror. Mm-hmm. Have you heard this theory?
No.
So they're the same amount of songs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take them, the playlist is like this.
Right.
So song number one at the top, last song at the bottom. If you fold them like this, the interludes line up. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like song number one, number two, interlude. This one will be like from the bottom, song, interlude. You know what right. I'm saying? It'll line up. And then with that, some of the songs draw immediate similarities to one another, even though the topic of the song is different.
Mm.
So I haven't really gotten that far into listening to it to where I can tell you like which songs relate to which ones. But supposedly that's one of like the hidden themes in this thing is like, look yourself in the mirror.
Right.
This album is looking itself in the mirror.
Right. Because that's where you need to start therapy, right? You need to look at yourself in the mirror. You need to identify your issues.
Absolutely. And the first song, we get Whitney telling Kendrick, you need to go to therapy.
Yeah.
And he's going like, I don't need therapy. Mm-hmm. A real N-word don't need therapy or whatever. She's like, you sound stupid. He goes, everybody's stupid.
Yeah.
That's the beginning. And then we get the second album starts with Session 2, Acceptance, or something like that. And that's when we get Kendrick starting to accept things.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of Act 2, we get a voice that says, congratulations. It's after Mother Eyes Sober.
Yeah.
And it's out, and they go, congratulations, you broke the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think it's at the end of the last song on the album, which is...
I'll tell you.
Mirror.
Mm. Mirror.
It's called Mirror.
It's called Mirror.
There's a voice that says, congratulations, you did it. Mm-hmm. You broke the cycle. You can now live your life happily because you've addressed all these things.
Mm.
So it's legitimately like the process of starting to go to therapy, getting through your issues, accepting your issues, grieving about your issues. Mm-hmm. That's what like Mother Eyes Sober, Auntie Diaries, Mr. Morale.
Auntie Diaries is wild to listen to. But crazy. Let's go into the next song, N95.
Oh, we want to go song by song on this bitch? Let's do it,
though. Well, N95 is just so prominent with the
Baby
message.
Keem.
You know.
The message of take off your mask.
Yes.
Take off the foo-foo.
Take off the rebound.
So this is N95. As most people know by now,
take off the clout, chase, take off the white
mask. It's been 2 years. N95 is a mask that people were supposed to be wearing during COVID. And this song starts with take off.
You out of pocket.
X, take off Y, take off Z, take off everything. So he goes on this huge list of all these things that people use, him in particular, I think, as a mask. And it's money, it's jewelry, it's cars, it's fame, it's love, it's everything. Take it all off and what's left. And it's a literal song about strip yourself of all the bad Of all the things.
Of all the materialist.
And what's left. Bitch, you ugly as fuck. That's right. What the message of that song is. Yeah. And realizing that, like, I have been like a fucking, what are those animals that, a barracuda, dude, yeah, that's just been like piling shiny things on, yeah, themselves.
Yeah.
But it's only to cover the ugly as fuck that's underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And the song goes crazy.
Song goes stupid.
I mean, just such a powerful beat. And it's crazy, too, because like, that's such a vulnerable thing to like strip yourself of all those insecurities and materialism. But then the beat is so powerful. Yeah. So it's almost like there's power in doing that. Yeah. There's power in revealing your true self.
Because
or looking at yourself,
people,
I should say.
When you, like, in therapy, some of the first questions, I wouldn't know this because I haven't been to therapy. No knock on therapy. I think everybody should go. You know, I just grieve different. But when when you go to therapy and there's questions like, okay, well, who are you, right? You go, hey, you know, I'm X. I have this car. I have a house. You know, I have children. But you start to identify the things that you have as your identity. That's why people buy things, because they say, I got nice clothes. I got drip. I got a car that I take on the beach. I got I got games. I got a job here. I got chains. I got this. I got that. But you're like, okay, that's not really anything that you're identifying yourself as. Who are you? And I remember I was in a psychology class in college, and the professor was like, okay, who are you? You go, my name's Ryan. They say, okay, but who are you? Well, you know, I'm a guy, and I work hard, right? I'm a son. And they're like, who are you? And it's a question that...
I'm your baby mama's favorite podcaster, bitch.
Exactly. It's a question that not many people ask themselves. And when they do, they realize it's much harder to think about than somebody else asking that person, who are you? Because if you go, well, I know who I am. I'm this, and this. Well, somebody else asking you that, and they keep asking you, and that's like not the answer that you're supposed to give, you start to like dig deeper, and you're like, well, okay, I'm this, I'm a piece of shit, right? That's like the very deep layer, right? I'm carved up.
It was carved me.
And you realize that in this song, Kendrick is telling you to strip everything down, look at yourself in the mirror, and really ask yourself, what are you without all these things?
Well, because you ain't going to know, you're going to notice your problems if they're covered in junk.
Right. And in during COVID with this N95 mask and all the mandates and things like that, you got to see a different side of people. Society acted in like a couple different ways about authority and what kind of information was coming out.
They acted up.
They were acting different. So the song slaps. And the message is there, and this is why it's one of the most listened to songs on the album. No knock on Kendrick, but you know, when you have that type of message that you have to look at and the beat goes stupid, you know, that is pretty much what draws in most of the listens.
That's why King Kunta and Black or the Berry were so popular, is because those beats went so hard and nuts. But the content is, again, like you sing Kendrick, until you sit down and listen, you have no idea what you're singing.
Yeah.
You're singing like Kill Whitey sometimes.
Take off the foo-foo. Like, you just say it because it's catchy.
It's so catchy.
Yeah.
But then there's like, you miss lines about so much shit that he wants you to be listening to. And that's part of his frustration too, is like, he feels like such an obligation to say these things for his people, and he feels like he has this knowledge and this burden of knowledge of what it means to be a human. And he's got this bird's eye view of what the whole system looks like. And he can tell us what the problems are, but we won't always listen because
we don't know that perspective.
Well, how can we? We're down here, bro.
Exactly. And this is an issue that we also talked about with our previous episode with Kai. You know, Kai has a perspective we know nothing about. He tried to explain to us exactly what's going on in his community and why he is who he is and how he can get his message out, which he does successfully. But someone like me and Jake, we will never know that perspective he has.
We can only ask.
Unless
and listen.
You live it.
You can only listen.
And if you don't live it, you don't know. And you can
only
listen.
If you don't live it, you got to listen.
And then motherfucking stupid people who think that when they hear that perspective and then give opinions on that perspective, that's where you're out of line. You know, that's where ignorant people come in.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you should get out of your neighborhood if right. It's dangerous. And
right. It's like, you know, save your money. Well, how can I save my money if I'm being robbed every
Make
week?
Make your own coffee at home, yeah. Ryan.
Come on, dude. Stop going to Starbucks and getting the fucking Egg McMuffin, dude.
Buy a 5-pack of of Hanes shirts.
Yeah.
And save money on shirts.
How to become a millionaire. Step one, be rich. But that's a struggle of artists who have the power and are using their power and knowledge for good. And when they put some content out there, of course you're going to have people who say, oh man, like, you know, that's not always the case. You know, you can do this, this, and this. No fucking shit. You're not him. He's not you. You know, you guys live two different lives. So the struggle is real coming from Kendrick because no one else has his perspective and no one else really knew what he grew up with and how he had to deal with it. He probably never knew how to deal with his emotions.
His shit was much more rough than I ever expected from Kendrick for some reason. And this is like just from a perspective of being in high school and in 2011, you know, Swimming Pools comes out.
Yeah.
And Backseat Pool Freestyle.
Drank.
And Good Kid, Mad City.
Headshot. Drank.
Those songs came out and it was like, whoa, these songs are really good. Like playing them constantly. And Backseat Freestyle was like crazy.
Yeah.
Went crazy. I don't know why, but I never, at that point, I do know why. I just wasn't aware of, first of all, that there were other people than me.
Right.
And two, that they had different experiences than me. It took until I went through college and met all these people and started considering like outside perspective and all this shit. But then to listen to Good Kid, Mad City again later in your life, you realize he's talking a lot about how dangerous it was where he was from. Mm-hmm. To the point where he's seen his friends die. He's been stomped down in front of his mama. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone he's known at some point.
Oh, my grandma did.
Has gone to prison or has been arrested or it's just he has what you would call like, and it's sad to say, but like the stereotypical black experience of just suffering.
Yeah.
And he's felt that and he's been lucky enough and skilled and talented and determined enough to get through that to the other side. Mm-hmm. And now, like we've been saying, he feels an obligation to then help his community also out of that same situation. So that's where he's coming from with all this.
Yeah.
But let's skip down a few. I do want to talk about briefly Kodak Black's involvement in the album.
Okay.
Because it is something that is like a point of controversy with the album due to...
It definitely was for me in the beginning.
Well, just off the bat, people say, you know, Kodak should not have been given this platform given the fact that he was accused and beat a rape case like within the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So potentially, you know, he did beat the case. And I think that part of the point of him being involved on this is similar line of thinking from The Heart Part 5 of like, these people are people. Mm-hmm. And like, we need to treat them as such. And like, if he beat the case and that's the way that it goes, then you should treat him like anybody else you would see who beat a case.
Right.
But at the same time, it's a difficult thing to say, but like, say Kodak did do it.
Mm-hmm.
How much fault is he at, given his background? And I think that I'm not maybe saying that the best way, but the point I think that Kendrick tried to make, at least in part, was that Kodak Black is this image of this like irredeemable figure, born and bred in the streets, still living that life, still very much involved, has made it big, but is still getting into trouble.
Yeah. He is a product of his environment.
An absolute product of his environment. And I think that that is a great point to consider. Mm-hmm. But it's like the whole, it's like the same thing as saying like, oh yeah, like pedophilia is horrible, but is it worth like studying why people become pedophiles?
Right.
People are like, no. They're just bad.
Right.
Like just throw them away.
Right.
Don't look at it. Mm-hmm. Ah, it burns. It's the same thing as like a rapist, like just fucking throw him away. Like don't think about it. Why would you think about it?
Yeah.
Throw him away. He's bad. Mm-hmm. And of course he is.
Yeah.
He took an innocence away from somebody. And I'm not saying he did, but you know, this is a message I think he tried to put through on an album about looking inward and self realization and acceptance and redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has Kodak as this like narrator on the album who exemplifies, like, I don't know, he's like, what do you think, why, what does Kodak represent that is pertinent to the album?
I think it's just a matter of maybe he is an artist who is in, I guess, the same boat as Kendrick. I'm gonna try and look at it as in a simple way, and just Kendrick probably saw a little bit of himself in Kodak Black and realized that, you know, he probably struggled just as much as himself. And he, you know, like you said, he's not at fault for the things that he grew up with. He didn't choose to be born. He didn't choose to be black. He didn't choose to be where he was born. To be poor. He didn't choose to grow up a fucking thug. That's just the life that he lived.
The circumstance.
And because of that, he was able to somewhat get out of that, you know, physically.
He got out of it, yeah.
But mentally, he is still there, you know? And for some reason, this thought still comes up to my mind, is that, you know, a lot of people, when you think of, like, drug dealers, rapists, murderers, all these types of people, you want to think, and I know, I'll be honest, I want to think sometimes it's more of, you know, somebody who's like in the black community. And it's terrible to say, but it's because of that type of environment that they're in. And
well, that's by design, right?
Right.
Let's recognize that. The fact that it's not even necessarily the black community, it's poor.
Like, right. It is the poor.
It's community. Poor people, and black people are unfairly representative of the poor population of this country.
And when, like, say, for example, us, we're white, we, you know.
Wait a minute. I'm white?
Sorry, bro. You're white.
But I have a hip hop podcast.
Hey, man, I know you're wearing all black.
But I listened to Pimp a Butterfly. Hey, man.
I know you're wearing Nike socks right now, but you're white.
But I have to live with this skin?
But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, white people want to be the first to jump and say, yep, he's a rapist. You know, he is that way and he's a piece of shit and throw him away. That is not the case at all, because white people tend to do even crazier shit. Look at the shit that's going on in the world right now. But
Tom Hanks eating babies,
turning the frogs gay. I mean, come on. But, you know, it is a very sensitive topic, because the people who are in charge of pointing fingers never point their fingers at themselves.
And that's the point of N95.
And that is the point of, I think, just the whole album.
Yeah, of course. It's
So I think Kendrick, I'll wrap this thought up, but it's analysis. Just, I think the reason he has Kodak on here is because he is a product of the environment, maybe not rightfully so, but he is a product, and he is now somewhat of an artistic influencer, right? He has made music, and he still has ties mentally to how he grew up. So of course he's going to act unabashedly, you know, crazy. Like, I think it was a video we seen of him, like, just fucking humping some bitch.
Yeah, he was fucking and, like, her in the
nosebleeds.
In the rich person box and, at a hockey game, dude.
And, I mean, he's just all decked out, and it's like, why are you doing that? And somebody who's ignorant is like, yeah, you know, he's just acting a fool and being stupid. But somebody else says, well, you know, why is he doing that? He's maybe doing that because that's all he knows.
Or just because the motherfucker got money now. He's enjoying that shit.
Right. But, you know, there's always a reason behind what you do with your money.
Sure. We could probably talk for a year about that, about why Kodak Black is Kodak Black. Now, I don't think, obviously, it's art. It is what it is. I'm not going to criticize it too much. I think that you could have got the same effect with a different artist, but maybe there wasn't a different artist who was at that level. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it is what it is, man. Kodak Black is, if he wasn't huge before, he just got put on potentially the biggest album of the last decade.
Man.
Not decade. That's lucky stupid. Son of a gun. 5 years at least.
Lucky son of a gun.
I don't think we have time to go through every song, but do you just want to talk about some of the more favorite songs? We've been going for quite a while.
I like Die Hard with Blast and Amanda Reifer. I think this song actually reminded me of when Kendrick Lamar made the concept album for Black Panther.
Yeah.
And he made like the song X and All the Stars with...
It was a more poppy song.
Was that Mariba? No, it was SZA.
SZA.
That song just is so well made, and like she's got like such a beautiful voice. And this song, I'm assuming it's Blast or it's Amanda who is singing like that chorus, and it just sounds so good. I didn't get a chance to really look into the depth of the lyrics on that song.
Me neither. But, there's so much left to listen to.
But, I mean, just for a good example, Savior, in the beginning, when Kendrick is talking about, you know, Kendrick made you think, I am not your savior, you know, who is the second? It was Cole.
He said J. Cole.
He gave you power, but he is not your savior. Future gave you a money machine or whatever, but he is not your savior. And that beat goes stupid. Let me just preface. That beat goes stupid.
That one's the more like real funky one, right?
I love Savior. I think Savior is my favorite song on the album.
Really?
Yeah. That, Father Time, Die Hard, N95.
What about Silent Hill? Put things on me like who? Put things on me like who? That's like the big TikTok challenge right now.
Yeah.
It's make yourself act a fool.
But no, it is a very in-depth album, and it's still gonna take me quite a long time to really pick apart this entire thing. But Savior was good because he's talking about how, like, you know, these icons that you may think are the greatest, even himself, are actually not great at all.
Yeah, he knocked himself down
comparatively to like what they've grown up with.
That he was dealing with his ego.
And it's funny he said Future, because Future just came out with that album, I Never Liked You Anyway.
Like it or not, bro, and it's actually Drake is punching the air right now that he didn't get mentioned in that bit.
Yeah.
And Future got mentioned, but Drake didn't, bro? Yeah. Oh, he's so mad.
And
Future's he's a pop icon.
Right. But like, he's not your savior. You know, he's talking about how Future, you know, may be one of the greatest artists, but you realize that he has so much going on, you know, in his own social life, right? Because it sounded like that whole album was like a big fuck you to whoever he was messing with.
He had like 9 kids from 7 ladies. Is that right?
I don't know.
I just made that up, but it's true.
But it sounds true. So we're going to roll with it.
I thought that Purple Hearts, right after We Cry Together, Purple Hearts is like that, shut the fuck up when you hear love talking.
Mm-hmm.
That had one of the most instrumentally impressive beats, where I felt like that whole song just had this like crazy ambiance that was just, there was like a real drum set on it, and the cymbals were hitting right with the piano, and it just all came together for this like beautiful song.
Yeah.
After that, I thought Count Me Out was beautiful too. Mm-hmm. I love that. And then beyond that, so I think Father Time is my favorite song on the album, but I recognize N95 as the biggest slapper for sure. But then Mr. Morale is a really good song too.
Yeah, Mr. Morale is very good.
That one's got
that's like the second to last song.
Yeah. And it has a crazy like bouncy beat. I mean, like he brought the energy back at the end of the album. It's the
third to last song with Tana Leone.
It just the whole thing, bro, is just I thought really well thought out. It's going to take me like a longer time to figure this album out and all the intricacies, but I'm really happy with where I'm at with it right now.
Yeah.
It's going to stick around.
I like it because I keep referring back to our interview, you know, check it out. Episode, you know, the interview with Kai 45. we talk with him about his albums and the fact that, you know, some lines and bars may not make sense to him at the moment, but later down in the line when he can look back at it, and
pause.
He can look back at it and he can choose to think about it differently. It hits differently. So like now, after looking at this album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, for 2 weeks now, we have changed our perspectives on it, and it's going to continue to shift a little bit.
Think we did a good job covering it?
No, I think we did a terrible job.
I think we only cracked the surface.
Cracked it, dude.
I want to maybe we should revisit and have a part two.
Hey, am I playing Apex right now and I have 5 kills? I'm cracked.
I cracked it. I think maybe we should do a follow-up episode in like 6 months and be like,
well, if this is going to be album of the year, we're obviously going to talk about it.
We're going to come back to
We'll come back to it.
It'll and then be, at that point, maybe we'll do a whole nother episode of like, let's talk again about what these albums are now.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I think so.
All right, brother. Well,
episode 157 of Out the Wazoo.
Good job.
Make sure you hit that bag button on Wazoo Podcast on our Instagram. Make sure you go to YouTube, type in Out the Wazoo, check out all our episodes, starting from 148 when we started to interview K Ron and we started our music videos or video podcast. Check out our Reddit at r/OutTheWazoo and make sure you hit that bell button that looks like a plump little ass on anchor.fm/Wazoo Podcast. Or you could go on Apple or Spotify or any other social media platforms that you get your podcasts on and make sure you follow.
Shout out all them new listeners in the building.
Shout out to all them dollars they be dropping too.
Big shout out to Kai 45. Go back and listen to the interview, dude. That guy's going to be huge and you're going to be looking back on this album in 5-10 years and you're going to be like, holy fuck, dude, Out the Wazoo got the exclusive before he got big.
I'm going to get a Kai 45 skin for the metaverse.
I think that's racist, dude.